Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight is Mike Fields, Vice President of VideoPoker.com. He'll be talking to us about some of the new games they'll be introducing at the Global Gaming Expo, G2E, which is the big industry trade show that's happening in Las Vegas and starting in a week and a half. Mike Shackelford, you recently had a change in your consulting career.
Yes.
Not so voluntary.
No, you may recall that about 5 months ago I announced on this show that I was going to be leaving private consulting and taking a job with the Venetian, which I did, and that all ended very suddenly on Monday last week. They came into my office with a piece of paper saying that my job no longer existed, and therefore, please turn in my keys and my badge and leave. And so I was not very pleased with, shall we say, their loyalty to me. And but now I am free again. It feels nice to not have to wear suits anymore and have 7 days a week to do what I want when I want to do it.
Six and a half. You still have to be here on Thursday night.
That's true. This is my only regular commitment now.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, is that under negotiation? Is it complete? Is it satisfied, or is that just...
No, when they, got the knife and stabbed me in the back, that, they did it. They did it well. Uh-huh. So, there's no going back at this point, and it's back to private consulting in my spare time, which is mostly designing slot machines.
All right. Brandon Phillips is a local Las Vegas lawyer. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. And he's done some research into what happens when you find something extra in a casino. Brandon, what did you find out?
Well, you know, we're really talking about abandoned property, and it really gets down to that definition of what is abandoned. In every state basically has it different, and even every casino could have a different definition of that. But in Nevada, if a property is considered abandoned, that meaning the person has left the machine, there is no intention that they are going to return, so they probably left the casino building, then that property becomes property of the casino, which they will later have to turn over 75% of it to the state. And that's how Nevada does it. In Pennsylvania, 100% of it belongs to the actual casinos. So it really comes down to the definition of abandoned and what does that mean and how long does a casino have to hold it or how long will it be held in the casino before it's considered to have basically been abandoned by that person. And one of the rules that everyone talks about is finders keepers and whether or not, you know, if I find something, can I keep it? Well, what people miss is finder's keeper's rule has one clear-cut rule that no one can argue, and that is the true owner always has the right to come back and reclaim that. And casinos are in a unique situation to actually prove who the actual owner is because they have like 2,000 cameras watching every movement of everything that we do inside the casinos. The casino can actually go back and prove that X person was at X slot machine and inserted that money and didn't cash it out. So the casino is in that unique position so that they can actually prove who the true owner is. So there is some duty by the casino to actually hold on to that property, because they can always go back and say, look, this property hasn't been abandoned, because if you look on the back of a little ticket in, ticket out, it says you have 30 or 60, maybe 90 days to redeem it. So until that 30 or 60 days has passed, the property's not considered abandoned. So therefore, the casino holds on to it because they're next in line to receive a portion of it, who then they have to turn over to the state.
All right. So Shackelford was playing a machine. He left $100 on it. He left. I came by. I saw it. I sat down, either played or I cashed it out. And so far, the casino has not noticed this. 2 hours later, Shackelford has an oh my God moment, comes back into the casino and says, I left money on this particular machine. It's about $100. I want it. They look at cameras and they see me. Now, what kind of trouble am I in, if any? Do they allow me to voluntarily give back the $100? Is it talk to my lawyer time? What is this?
Well, most casinos, it is still Michael's money. And under most policies, the casino would ask you to return the money if they can show that you were the one that actually took it. So you would be asked to return the $100 or whatever he left, whatever that number came up to. Going further than that, if you didn't return the money, they would have the ability to detain you and call the police for theft, because you have stolen property that is not yours.
Well, technically, wouldn't they have that right anyway? Because he basically stole my money.
Exactly. They would have that right. And that's, I mean, basically, if you look at other states that have decided this, like in there was a situation in Michigan where this happened in a casino, and Michigan law has said basically you can't detain people for this. But in Nevada, you can. And in most states, that is the decision. In Pennsylvania, that's been clear cut. The casino can hold you, detain you, try to get the money back, and if not, call the police and report that you've stolen property.
Now, when they detain you, is it for the purpose of making a citizen's arrest?
At first, it can be basically, I mean, it essentially boils down to that, but it's detaining anyone. When you're on someone else's property, they have the right, specifically on someone else's property, they have the right to detain you if they have the reasonable belief that you have committed a crime.
But when they detain you, something has to be accomplished through that detainment, like waiting for the police to show up. They can't just do it just because they want to intimidate you for 6 hours, can they?
No, and that's where it gets down to, have you violated any potential civil rights of that person? So the detainer, number one, has to be reasonable in their determination of detaining you, and the reasonable in the amount of length and time that they actually hold you.
All right.
All right. That's very interesting. Brandon is going to continue and pay his visits periodically on items for related to gamblers. So thank you very much, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
They can reach me at 795-0097 or email me at blp@abetterlegalpractice.com. And I appreciate you having me on.
Abetterlegalpractice.com.
It matches up with the name BLP, Brandon Lane Phillips.
So clever. So clever. All right. Now, on last week's show, we had a blackjack player, Nathaniel Tilton. And he told us that he and his playing partner used a player's cards in the names of various friends. They'd go to a blackjack table and put down their card, which is the name of their next-door neighbor. And now we received an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com suggesting that this could mess up a friendship if you got a win-loss statement or something related to that card. And so we asked Munchkin about this, because Munchkin plays a lot more table games than I do. And he said, basically, it's not a problem at all, assuming you stay below the $10,000 a day limit, so you don't have the CTRs, cash transaction reports. Casinos generally don't check ID, currency transaction report. So there shouldn't be a problem. Table games do not generate W2Gs like slots do. Now, Mike, do you have any comment on this general subject?
I've never done that. I have heard that sometimes card counters will look for an abandoned player card and then play under that identity. But yeah, don't know too much about it. I get, you know, I would tend to think that they're probably actually, if anything, just earning comps for this player.
I guess.
But
I
then know. Again, they might get backed off under this identity, and this it's, person may find themselves unwelcome the next time.
Yeah, but if they're likely kind of non-players anyway. They're the next door neighbor, and they went and got the player card as a favor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have president election coming up in relatively few weeks. Now, on this show, we're not taking any stand on the election other than when it relates to gambling. Now, apparently, you actually can gamble on the election itself, and there's currently an arbitrage opportunity out there. Michael, what have you learned about this?
Indeed, I did notice a good arbitrage situation. At Pinnacle Sports, you can get Mitt Romney right now at plus 306, in other words, 3.06 times your money if he wins. And at intrade.com, they set it up a little differently, is where you can buy a $10 share of Obama for $6.98, which translates to a money line of laying 231. So if you can lay 231 on one side and get plus 306 on the other side, that is a huge middle that you're getting. And I calculate that if you purely want to arbitrage that, you should bet 73.9% of your money on Obama and the other 26.1% on Romney, and you will lock in a 5.9% profit with absolutely no risk. And gambling just doesn't get much better than that.
Now, is this legal for Americans to do? Now, we had Black Friday and these kind of things. Is this legal?
In Nevada, there's no state or federal law, I would argue, that says that actual gambling on the internet is illegal. Now, it has been shown through the Wire Act that it's illegal for banks, U.S. banks, to move money around to facilitate these transactions, but I would argue that there's ways it can be done legally without ever using a U.S. bank. Some others may disagree, but that's my interpretation of the law.
Now, this...
And I should add, though, that both these places don't take U.S. players, unfortunately. So our Canadian and European listeners may find this more valuable.
I'm sure a high percentage of our audience lives in Europe. I'm just oh, 95% at least.
They have an IP address there.
Yes. All right, good. So, and with that level of arbitrage, these numbers change all the time. And
yeah, there's been a huge change lately in favor of Obama.
And so, he's always been ahead on these gambling sites.
Well, he was only about a minus 120 favorite only like 2 weeks ago, but just suddenly the new polling figures and some gaffes Romney has made, and his odds have just shot through the roof suddenly.
All right. So let's talk about Mike Fields. Mike Fields is executive vice president of VideoPoker.com. Is one of the sponsors of the show. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
VideoPoker.com. They're the designers of Triple Play, Spin Poker, Quick Quads, Ultimate X, and more than 100 other games, many of which are written about on Shackelford's Wizard of Odds website. In the mid-90s, Mike Fields was hired by IGT to run a video poker division dedicated to a highly creative inventor named Ernie Moody. A few years later, Mike went to work for Moody full-time and has been there 12 years. Mike Fields, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
First of all, Mike, you have some nerve coming on this show with the same first name as my co-host. So in the interest of clarity, when I say Mike tonight, I'm referring to Mike Fields. And when I say Michael or Shaq, I'm referring to Michael Shackelford. And if I say Brent, never mind. All right, so... Now, the game of triple play changed the video poker landscape about 15 years ago. Variations of triple play form the bread and butter of a high percentage of the games released by VideoPoker.com. Briefly, what makes the triple play games different from other video poker games?
I think the compelling play features of triple play is what people and players enjoy about single hand poker. Is obviously enhanced by having a lot more volatility and action with more hands and some of the variations that we've made. One of the critical elements that we've learned over time is that you need to provide more entertainment, more action and volatility, but it's typically a disaster to change the playing strategy. So it's basically make what people know better through volume.
And a key factor is you hold one card and it's automatically held on however many other triple plays or five plays or 10 plays. That is a key feature of what the triple play patent is all about. Is that correct?
Absolutely. When you're playing triple play, five play, 10 play, 100 play, you get dealt your basic hand. Let's say you get excited because you have two aces. You hold your aces, which are then duplicated in each other hand that you're playing and have wagered for. And then the balance of the 47 cards are dealt into, a fresh deck is dealt into each and every hand. So you have different outcomes for each and every hand that you have. Obviously, when you're playing triple play and you get dealt three aces, it's the only time someone actually slows down in a casino, takes a deep breath, and visualizes that ace of hearts, and then pushes the button and hopes like Hades they're going
to
get it.
Trust me, it happens on Fort of the Royal, too.
No doubt.
Speaking of the triple play patent, I hear it's going to expire soon. Can you tell us when exactly it's going to expire, and how do the slot makers like Action Gaming preparing for that?
So there's a lot of questions about this. So there are five core multi-hand patents that Ernie invented that in general collectively expire in the summer of 2015. From the perspective of the manufacturers, it's caused a bit of a feeding frenzy of discussion about what's going to happen and can the games still be licensed and leased and charged for by the casinos. My perspective is fairly straightforward, that it's really, the players don't care about the commercial relations between suppliers and operators. What they care about is, do they trust the game? Do they know the game? Do they know how to play the game? Do they like that game? And I don't think it'll really affect anything for players. I think what will happen is that we'll see our friends at Williams and probably Bally, who've done it before, try and knock off or create a mimic, if you will, of the play mechanics and the methodology. And it'll really then just come down to whether or not players accept it, trust it, and enjoy it. One of the most compelling stories that I can use to relate to this is roughly 8-10 years ago, MGM had about 85 Wheel of Fortune games, and the Wheel of Fortune games are charged as a percentage of coin in, so they're expensive by standards that the operators feel are too much. They went out and bought roughly 90 Monte Carlos, which is a wheel-based game that Bally invented, charged $25,000 each, as I recall, if I recall correctly. They put them in, and unfortunately the play levels were such that it was not a good investment, because players are superstitious creatures. They know what they like, they're comfortable with the trade dress, the colors, the behavior of games, and at the end of the day, that's what makes a game more successful than another, is just, do they trust it and do they like it?
So legally speaking, if Williams and Bally's decide to knock off multiplay, do they have to make it seem at least a little bit different so they're not knocking off your sounds and artwork?
So I should probably not say knock off, because that suggests they're doing something wrong. Once the patents expire, there is no protection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's completely fair game for those guys, and good on them. Half of them are my friends anyway. There are still trademarks and trade dress. The specific look, the specific sounds, the specific names of the games. I am not a lawyer, but it is my understanding that you can't just, maybe Brandon can chime in as a lawyer, but
you can't call it triple play.
You can't call it triple play unless you've licensed the name triple play from IGTA. So they'll have to name the game something else. They'll have to change the cards a bit. They'll change the background color, something that'll make it not an obvious copy. And I think that's exactly what will make it more challenging for players to adopt it, because it won't be the same thing. They won't look the same game.
Now, when you started working for Ernie, the company was called Action Gaming.
Yeah.
And so a few years ago, you changed it to videopoker.com. How come you did that?
The reason that I created changed the name was pretty straightforward. Other than our accountants and the people that we write checks to, nobody really cares about Action Gaming. what people know about our company really is what they know, what players know and the casinos know through our products. They know Triple Play. They know Multi-Strike, Multi-Strike's one of our new games. They know 100 Play. They know the products that we make. At the time that we were able to get videopoker.com, this is probably 8 years ago, we were kind of evangelists in trying to create an environment, an industry-friendly community for video poker players where they could experiment and try games without having to spend money. Typically, there's that. It's an expensive process. You see a new video poker game, you want to try it. Typically, you're not going to figure it out or enjoy the features with your first $20. So videopoker.com is a great vehicle by which we can educate and entertain players and give them a chance to try before you buy, essentially. So it made a lot more sense to me that videopoker.com should become a more ubiquitous name, if you will, for the player community to talk about, hey, I played this game for free over here. I've got friends over here. Ultimately, as well, videopoker.com is a pretty powerful domain. You know, when you type in video poker, video space poker, video hyphen poker, we're the first website that comes up. So that obviously helps our game promotions. But as you look forward to whatever happens, whenever it happens in legalized gaming, if we can envision a future in some number of years where people can actually gamble on video poker games, videopoker.com is a very powerful, very valuable asset.
And I applaud you guys for letting players play for free your games on your website. And I let players do the same thing on mine. But has anyone ever brought up the idea at, say, IGT to let players play slot games for free to get a feel for them before they play for real money in the casinos?
So let me be careful to make clear that I don't speak for IGT. I did work there for 5 years, but I don't speak for them. So I have an opinion, which is worth exactly what you're paying for it, which is nothing. I personally have always felt that the free play idea makes tons of sense. If you go to Costco, I mean, you can graze in Costco on a Saturday morning, right? You can
anytime.
Just wander around nibbling on stuff. We go to wine tastings because it's a chance to taste a wine without dropping $20 on a bottle of wine. So in my view, I think it's always been a powerful enticement and inducement to let people try. I think over the years, there's been a number of management changes at IGT, and some of the managers have bought into this idea, but it's a very expensive proposition. We don't make money on videopoker.com. It is a marketing expense to support our brick and mortar games business, and it's something that we're lucky enough to afford because Ernie is generous and loves the video poker community and loves what we do for a living. And you know, I think as a public, if we were a publicly owned company, I'm not sure we would have the luxury to do some of the stuff that we do that doesn't make us money. The evolving landscape as far as IGT is concerned in slot games is that trying to figure out what the social gaming and free play gaming, mobile gaming, what that's going to look like. And I imagine the decisions that IGT have to take now, and I'm not privy to those decisions, is if we were to put free games out, would it keep people from going to our free play site Double Down that they just spent $500 million on and possibly playing those games? And if they run out of credits, putting their credit card down and spending a few bucks to buy more credits to keep playing. So from IGT's perspective, it may be more value to them and their shareholders to actually put those games on Double Down, where people can buy credits and earn badges and do things that are consistent with the way Zynga and other people have done. As a whole new high-volume area of revenue, that whereas just supporting the brick and mortar is really kind of hard to figure out whether you're really making money on that or not. And I apologize that being a long answer, but it's a complicated question.
Okay.
The G2E starts in a week and a half. Let's talk about some of the games that you're going to introduce. Now, these games are not going to be available immediately. There's going to be 3 months, 6 months, a year lag time. But players should be seeing these eventually. So one of them is called Hyper Bonus Poker. What is Hyper Bonus Poker all about?
So Hyper Bonus, we have a collection of games. Each year we learn what works and doesn't work, or what we think works and doesn't work. Quick Quads, which is a game that you love, taught us that strategy changes were not as widely loved by the masses. What we've learned in the last couple of years, games like Super Times Pay, which has a random multiplier that occurs every 14 and a half hands, Ultimate X, which has a multiplier that happens whenever you have a winning combination on the next hand, has introduced a level of volatility and entertainment, a swing and a ride that players clearly love. Ultimate X has been one of our fastest growing games. So Hyperbonus, we've taken some of the features, some of the play mechanics that Ultimate X offers, and what Hyperbonus is it's a 5-coin extra wager per line, and what happens whenever you're dealt a winning hand, two pair, high pair, three of a kind, etc., each line gets a random multiplier of anywhere between 2x up to, say, 10 or 12x.
Can it be 1x?
The bottom hand can be, but not the second and third or the subsequent hands. Math is very complicated in trying to work this out. The trick in any of the features of the games we do is you just can't charge that much unless the feature is going to be entertaining, worthwhile, and happen frequently enough for the players. Otherwise, you skin the players, and that's nothing you want to do.
Is it fair to say that in many ways it's comparable to Super Times Pay, except it costs 5 extra instead of 1 extra, and whenever you get this multiplier, it's on a winning hand. Whereas on Super Times Pay, frequently when you get the multiplier, you get a nothing with it.
I think that's certainly been my experience on that game, and I love that game. I think that's a fair statement. The value of the dealt winner also can influence the range of the multiplier. So the multiplier, if you get dealt, say, a full house, the multiplier has a higher top-end range. So I think what you're going to see in the game is exactly as you've suggested. When you have a dealt winner, you know you're going to enjoy the value, the payback of that multiplier, and that multiplier can be quite high. And that is certainly a challenge of Super Times Pay, as we all watch that 10x resolve, and it takes that little extra bit of time that, you know, we designed in there, and it slides across, and then you get a completely crap hand and have to throw it all away, and you're like, oh, please, God, just give me a high pair. It's all I want.
Yes, that crap hand is a technical term that we just, us video poker aficionados go.
So could we compare Hyperbonus Poker to, what was that game called, I think Double Pay, where you get paid both on the deal and the draw, only in this case it's random what you're going to get.
I don't think, with all due respect, Michael, I don't think so, in that Double Pay essentially paid you against a pay table for a stud hand.
Yeah.
Right? And this isn't really, you're not getting a multiplier or getting paid unless you have a winning combination.
Okay.
And then, depending on the winning combination, you have a range of multipliers that are likely to differ on each and every hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob, you'll see the game at the show, and we'll have it on the website operating pretty quickly. What happens is that the games we show at the gaming show to the industry are typically on sale within 30 to 60 days of the show or already on sale. The regulatory process across the United States, however, a game that's approved in Nevada in October in time for the gaming show may not get approved for 9 months in Illinois. May not get approved for 6 months in Mississippi. And so there is not, you know, when Gap introduces the cute little black dress for the spring, you know, they can roll it out everywhere. We can't do that because of the regulatory environment we have in the United States.
Uh-huh. Okay. Ultimate Aces, what's that one all about?
I really like Ultimate Aces because I'm like so many people around the country, particularly in Nevada, that love my Aces. We all have our love affair with Aces. What happens with Ultimate Aces is anytime you have a dealt ace, you get awarded a multiplier. And similar to Hyperbonus, the multipliers have ranges. The ace of spades, being the most powerful of the aces, has a range of, say, up to 10x. So it'll cycle through from 2x, 3x, a bit like Super Times Pay does, and you get up to, say, 10x. And then each of the aces have different ranges. If you get dealt three aces, whichever the highest value ace is will drive the multiplier range and the range. So you get dealt a pair of aces and you end up with a 4x. Now you're starting with a pair of aces on however many hands you're playing with a 4x multiplier. So that skunk, that unexpected skunk feature that happens in Super Times Pay that you referred to, Bob, doesn't happen in this game. you get dealt an ace, you're guaranteed that you're going to have a multiplier. If you're dealt more than one ace, you're guaranteed you're going to have a winning hand right out of the gate.
You can start with an ace and end up with zero.
That's true.
And you don't have to hold the ace. If you are dealt an ace and say a 5, 6, 7, 8 rainbow, then you throw the ace away and go for the straight, but you keep the multiplier.
And what'll be interesting on that, you know, I try and be very critical about the games that we design and deploy. I am wondering whether people's love and obsession with aces, if you get that ace with the 4x multiplier and that rainbow 5, 6, 7, 8, whether people are going to remember to vary their strategy or because of the love affair with aces hold the ace. And I think I might be overly anxious about that, but I think that there is that's something I would say to your listeners. When you see that game, remember, don't deviate from strategy.
Yeah, I saw this game in a preliminary version of it. I don't know. And there, at the time, it seemed like there were no strategy deviations. You just play. The concern I would have would be on a game like Triple Double Bonus, where you get dealt 4 aces and a kicker. And so that's, so like if you're playing 5 play, that's all of a sudden 20,000 coins.
And I'd be very concerned about that too, Bob.
And you get a 7x multiplier or a 10x multiplier, and all of a sudden somebody on the second floor goes, "Those bums at videopoker.com, we don't want this game anymore."
Well, you know, in the process of selling slot machines, any game to a casino, part of the process the salespeople have to go through and the buyer has to go through is looking at what is the maximum exposure of a jackpot. And so our video poker product specialists at IGT, there's a 2 or 3 metrics when they walk into Bob Dancer, Vice President of Slots, at fill in name of casino here. You know, if you're a smart buyer, you're going to want to know what's the base wager, what are the pay tables it's offered in, how many, does it have all the standard game families, and what's my exposure, my top-end exposure. And some casinos literally will not take a game if it has a high-end exposure. Different casinos, particularly some of the public companies, have different appetites for volatility. As we all know with Baccarat, a bad weekend of Baccarat can screw up the quarter for a public company on the strip. To a lesser extent, some of the gaming companies seem to think that a $400,000 jackpot on a highly volatile multi-hand game, I guess they think that can mess up their quarter as well.
Yeah, I love to mess up the quarters, but it's only happened to me once. All right, so one last game we're going to talk about is multi-streak poker.
Multi-streak's a really interesting game, and you know, I really admire Ernie's creativity. Similar to a couple of the other games we've talked about, multi-streak, the feature is a 5 coin per line, and the feature is that when you get dealt a winner, you are awarded a multiplier on the next hand. Now, we've seen that before with Ultimate X.
Uh-huh.
The difference with multi-streak is that at the very top above the hands, there are 3 multiplier boxes. And if I get 2 dealt winners in a row, let's say I get a dealt winner and I get a 2 pair. Now I've got a 2x multiplier for the next couple of hands. If I get a dealt winner on the next hand, those 2x's can go to 4 or 5x. So if you have successive runs of good fortune in terms of dealt winners, then the multipliers increase before you get to actually deploy them. And again, based on the value of the dealt winner, a flush would give you a range of multipliers that might go as high as 8x or something, whereas a 2 pair may only go 2x, 3x. So you get a couple of decent, you get a decent run with a 3 of a kind, and then you get a flush. You're probably looking at like 7 or 8x coming down the pike for the next couple of hands, and those are then multiplied against all the hands. So a little bit more animation, and it's a bit more creative. You know, we're trying to find ways to make the games a bit more entertaining without losing our core player. You know, as we talked before we went on the air, you know, we're essentially trying to find ways to serve a fillet. There's only so many ways you can really dress that up, and we're trying to find ways that are tolerant to our core clients but might actually draw in some new players.
So this is going to create a cherry-picking opportunity. If somebody has earned multipliers and then needs to leave or wants to leave, runs out of money or something and leaves, then the next person along gets those multipliers.
That's correct. And we've agonized over whether to make games this way or not, but sometimes to deliver the entertainment value on the front end, this is sort of a byproduct of the exercise. As you and I have talked about with Ultimate X, sometimes if someone has to leave or leaves, runs out of money, then you might be left with multipliers on subsequent hands. Those multipliers can't just go away because they've been funded and paid for by the player from the previous hand. So I'm not a regulator, I'm not a lawyer. My understanding, simplistically, is that since they've paid for that multiplier, it has to stay there and be played off. Some casinos don't like these kind of features. They call them persistence features. They refer to people that prey upon them as fleas.
That's one of the nicer terms.
But at the end of the day, again, there are trade-offs with everything. And we're trying to introduce more action, more volatility, more entertainment, and this is one of the trade-offs. And Ultimate X has been the fastest growing, most popular game we've invented since Super Times Pay, probably more successful than Super Times Pay. So we think we're on the right track.
Ironically, though, some players don't know, but it has tremendous strategy variations on it.
Well, when you get a 12X of the full house or something like that.
Or a 1X, or a 2X, or a 3X, or a 4X, or a 5X,
nobody would know better than you.
Actually, Shaq knows better than me. But
good for you guys.
We got 2 minutes on this and then 3 minutes on another question. Videopoker.com website. They have a forum, which people send emails back and forth and yell at each other. I participate on it. It has things in common with VP Free. It is more recreational players on videopoker.com percentage-wise. Now, in a week and a half, they're having a meet and compete. Are our listeners welcome to participate in that if they join up?
Absolutely. The meet and compete is being hosted this year by the Mirage. We had a lot of feedback from last year. People wanted to be on the Strip. What we're doing is a triple play tournament on the Mirage floor with cash prizes, full payback prizes, and we're giving out hats and T-shirts and goodies and stuff, and it's actually a lot of fun. There is a great sense of community. As you say, there are more recreational than really hardcore. There are a lot of hardcore, but mm-hmm. It's predominantly recreational and people that just really love the entertainment value. It's well advertised on the website. If anybody has any specific questions about wanting to be part of it, they can certainly go to comments@videopoker.com, and we can turn those around. I believe there's a $50 buy-in on that tournament.
I think so.
And I think we've got about 120 people registered right now, and we'd love to have more.
And after it's over, there's a if you're entered, there's a party at Rum Bar starting at 6.
Exactly. There's food and beverages and get-together and silliness, and everybody can talk about the Fort of the Royal that didn't come together.
And I will be at Rum Bar starting at 6. I'm not going to be in the tournament because I might accidentally win it, and they go, it's a fix. You're a sponsor. So I'm not going to be in the tournament, but I will be at Rum Bar. So
it's cheaper to buy you drinks.
All right. And last, we're going to let you brag a little bit. Who is Connor Fields?
You're very kind, Connor.
And you got about 3 minutes on this.
Look, I'm blessed with a 19-year-old son that I still like and enjoy, and he's a professional cyclist, and he's
good.
He's quite good, and he just represented the United States in the Olympics recently, a few weeks ago, and he's typically ranked very high in the world, and you know, I'm more proud of the man he is because he's a really good guy, and he's a decent guy, and he's really good to the kids and the fans, but. You know, I'm blessed to have a son who can really ride a bike, who's really healthy, stays away from all the many distractions that would be available here in Vegas if he were so inclined. And he's traveled the world more than most of us grown-ups. He's a good kid, and he's funny as can be. Don't know where he gets that from.
Pretty.
Probably his mom.
Well, Lisa's a hoot. But you hold your own there. All right, very good. All right, now we have asked Mike to come back, and we got more questions for him for next week, and right now it's kind of Maybe yes, maybe no. So we have a backup plan, but our hope is that he decides that yes, he can come back and talk to us again next week too.
You know, and I am quite happy if anybody sends in questions and stuff. I mean, one of the great joys I take from videopoker.com is every single comment that comes into the website I get. And I view that as a bit of a blessing, in that I sort of liken that to putting my thumb on the pulse of what's going on in our video poker community. The only way that you really know what's happening is by hearing from your customers. So send in questions.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Shackelford, what did we learn tonight?
I have to beg my readers not to write me. we learned all about the three new games that Action Gaming is coming up with, and all three of which do not require any strategy deviations, which I think most players will appreciate. And I'm looking forward to analyzing those games.
Yeah, it's the games end up on the Wizard of Odds website, and that's actually a gift that you give both to the players and to videopoker.com. Now, speaking of the websites, what's new and different on the various Wizard websites?
On the Wizard of Odds, I just wrote two different pages about a couple of blackjack side bets. One is called Dealer Bust 21, which can be found at both the Tropicana and the Fiesta Henderson. This is a simple side bet that wins if the dealer busts. There's another one called House Money 21, which can be found at the Pala Casino. And this is a side bet that pays based upon the player's first two cards, for example, a pair or a straight flush. And then if the player chooses to, he can take those winnings and slide them over to his blackjack wager. For example, if the player had an ace-king suited, that pays 9-1. And then he can slide it over to his blackjack bet and get paid another 3-2 on it. And both these games are Shuffle Master games. Dealer Bust is not, but House Money 21 is. And they will be showing that at the gaming show in a couple weeks. And I also wrote a little bit about my experience at the Venetian. And on the Wizard of Vegas, I just posted an article that somebody else wrote about a business called Sky Combat Ace, which is they have these stunt planes, and they offer the general public the opportunity to ride in them.
Sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, I would have to bring my own barf bag if I tried that, so I don't think I'll be doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally don't own any brown pants, so I don't know. All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. On Mondays through Thursdays, through the end of the month, there's an opportunity to earn free lunch and dinner buffets. 300 points get your lunch, 600 get you both, and you keep your points. And those are good on Mondays through Thursdays through October 1st. This coming Tuesday at noon, I'll be teaching beginner level 9-7 double bonus at the South Point. And at 2 p.m., I'll be teaching beginner level 9-6 double-double bonus. While these games are both in the 99% range, the strategies for these games is very close to that of the 100% version that are found in a few places. Also, the following Tuesday, October 2nd, I'll be teaching 9-6 double-double bonus quick quads, which is a game that I personally play at South Point much of the time. In order to understand the quick quads game, you need to understand the basic strategies of 9-6 double-double bonus first. So if you're going to want to come to the Quick Quads class, then you may want to consider taking the class before that. The classes are free, and everybody at least 21 is welcome. At the Palms, the weekly drawings take place Friday and Saturday evenings. And this month, the drawing demands some physicality, which hasn't been there before at the Palms drawings. The first person drawn gets to throw a football through a hole. It's a 16-inch diameter hole, and you can throw it from 10 feet away, 15 feet away, or 20 feet away. You get bigger prizes depending on how far you throw it away from. The players 2nd through 6th who get called get 10% of whatever the first person gets. So they become a cheering section. So far in the 3 weeks, there have been 6 chances to throw the ball through the hole. Well, the next time it goes through will be the first time. So everybody's been getting the... last week, a friend of mine, he had practiced, and he had 4 shots in a row right through the hole, and the pressure was on when it was counted for real, and it didn't even come close. Okay, on the Play, Earn, and Win, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the second half of this month features a sports theme. The biggest gift you can get is a $100 gift card to Sports Authority. They have balls, coolers, and other things that are useful when you do sportsy things. The free monthly contest at videopoker.com begins this coming Monday, the 24th, and features Dream Card. Dream Card is a 10 coin per line game, where periodically the machine deals you 4 cards and then gives you the best possible card for the 5th card. I've played the Jacks Are Better Dream Card version, and the card they give you is 100% accurate. I've also played Bonus Poker, and there is a slight problem because they don't value a pair of 2s through 4s exactly the same as they value a pair of 5s through 10s, which, as players know, is not accurate, but it's easy to fix. For this contest, you want to pick the game with the highest volatility, which will probably be triple double bonus if they offer it, otherwise super aces bonus or double double bonus. Because of the dream card, you're going to get lots of dealt royals or 4 aces with the kicker. And so you're going to need much more than a dealt royal in the 100 hands in order to qualify for the prizes. All 10 prizes, people get prizes, will have dealt royals. And so you need more than that. So the high variance games give you the best chance to do that. All right. Next week, we're hoping to have Mike Fields back. And if he doesn't, our backup plan is a man named Brian McAllister. He has many interesting gambling experiences to share with us. He kind of grew up in the video poker world about the same time I did. And so he and I will reminisce over things at the Vegas world and various other places. All right, Michael. You told us before the show that there was a situation where someone tried to steal credits off of a machine that you were supposed to be guarding. What happened?
Yeah, this Brandon segment reminded me of this story. Is I had a friend from California come visit Vegas, and we were playing the 10-7 double bonus machines at the Four Queens. And as is the case with many video poker players, when I play, I get into a zone, and all I think about is that game, and the building could be on fire and I might not even realize it. So my friend said, Mike, I'm going to the bathroom, watch my machine. And you know, I just said okay, and off he went. And then without me realizing it, some guy that looked like a bum sat down at my friend's machine, played one hand, which lost, and then he cashed out the remaining credits and attempted to leave. And as you know, these machines were not ticket in, ticket out. Maybe they are now. But then I heard all these coins hitting the hopper, and that kind of broke me out of my trance. And I said, who are you? What are you, you know, I'm watching that machine. That's not your money. And he said, he kind of just mumbled some excuse. I didn't know. I put a dollar in, which I think he did. And by this time, my friend comes back, and he's really angry, and he starts making a commotion about it, and then security comes over, and, you know, everyone tells their version of the story, and it's quite clear to security and the slot manager, who then came along, that this guy was just a vulture looking to steal credits. And
vulture is not as nice as flea.
Right. And so I'm quite sure that they took him to the door and trespassed him.
20 years earlier, they'd have done more than that.
It is. I've had a very similar experience. One thing we didn't ask Mike Fields, so I'm going to go back to him since he he wasn't smart enough to leave the room after we finished with him. Now, you and Ernie are both video poker players.
That's true.
So what kind of advantage do you think that gives you in designing the games? Because you'll go buy a beer, play, talk to, well, you'll talk to the wall, but you'll talk to whoever you're sitting next to and listen to what they have to say.
I always win the conversations with walls.
No, I've seen you lose.
Thanks.
Oh, okay.
Ernie is really funny to go play video poker with, because he's convinced that he, in doing the patent deal, sold his soul to the devil and is no longer allowed to ever have another four of a kind. And he will.
And he thinks
he's grumpy to play video poker with.
And he thinks his girlfriend can't lose.
It's easier for everyone that way. I think it's absolutely essential. I have a lot of inventors come to me with game ideas, and then I immediately ask them, you know, where do you like to play and what's your favorite game? And if they say I don't gamble, it immediately tells me a little bit something about what I might expect out of their game. I think that consuming one's own product is critical if you're going to know the experience and the quality of the event. I would never buy a bottle of wine from a sober sommelier, and I laughingly always suggest you should never trust a skinny chef. When it comes to playing myself, I definitely do listen to.
Now, your wife is thin. Do you eat her cooking?
She's a very good cook.
And she's well.
She doesn't make a living doing it, though.
Okay, because she's very attractive and very slender.
Quick Quads is actually the perfect game that matches your question. As a player, I think many of us as players, getting three sixes, a four, and a two, we can't help but notice that that all adds up. And I noticed that some bars did promotions where they did races and various types of promotions and things, and it just struck me that why wouldn't we create a game that did this and paid for it organically, as opposed to having the bar do it. So, but I definitely think it's absolutely critical to consume your own product and listen to players and do it anonymously. That way you don't get biased feedback.
Yeah, I agree 100%. People in the gaming business should go out there and gamble, but I must confess that as someone who's designed hundreds of slot machines, I find slots terribly boring, and it pains me to play them. But I often like to ask feedback from other people that play slots, and I say, why do you like this game more than that one? And, you know, why do you play in the first place?
No, I think it's absolutely true. I think if you want to begin to understand slots, Double Bucks was probably the most rudimentary, simple game that I learned a lot about math from. That simple game that was out in Game King, you know, maybe six versions ago.
You can still see it.
You can still find it. It's the only slot game I'll play. I definitely enjoy getting my three coins and hearing the music and the rung, 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 you know, and the noise that goes on that I couldn't stand beforehand. But yeah, you got to get out there and mix it up.
Okay. Do you have anything to add, Brandon, that's been said since your segment?
No, I just think with the patent, I think you guys were right on about that, is it's got to be somewhat unique, and so there'll be some modifications going forward to make it change from what the patent already established.
But several years ago, Bally came out with a version on a touchscreen or something that would probably be different enough once the patent has expired, although the patent had expired, it was too close and they lost the lawsuit.
We won that lawsuit, but if you look at just the commercial aspects of it, I think at the height of their deployments, they had 93 units that they were not charging as much as we were, and they were actually giving it away in some cases. And that's not a bragging thing. That's simply the fact that players didn't adopt it.
Very good. Thank you, everybody. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes. See you next week.
Good night.
Bye.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.